For years, rockers, artists, bands have heard this. Your song needs to be 2 minutes, 30 seconds long, or it won't get played on the radio. This has been like a time-honored tradition in pop and rock music. But there have been many artists who have given the middle finger to this rule and had enormous success with songs more than double that length. So this week we're counting down the best songs, the greatest rock and metal songs that are over 6 minutes. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. And we are back once again, coming at you live over there on Facebook Live. We do Facebook Lives every single week on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So you can check it out. Go to Rock Rage Radio Live, and you will find us. That's what we do. But we're like all over the place. A couple things you guys can do. First of all, if you're listening to this in the replay, and you have a lot of options for that, including YouTube now, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening to it, Rock Rage Radio, wherever, hit that, they all have this little like V-shaped icon with two little circles on it. That means that's your share thing, okay? So just share that to whatever social media outlet you prefer. You love Twitter, you love Instagram or whatever, just hit the share button. Share the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus with all the folks on your social media following there. This is how you get the word out about great guitar-driven rock. That's the mission of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, to keep great guitar-driven rock at the forefront. And you can do your part and show your friends how cool you are, how much you are really in the know, because we are playing awesome music that you are not hearing on corporate media. No way, no how. This is the real deal. This is where real rock and roll is. Rock, my friends, is the new alternative, and you are part of it. You have discovered it. So welcome. Our website is LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. You can go back there and keep up on all the happenings and comings and goings. If you'd like to dig a little deeper, get to party with us in a more exclusive way, get to be a part of a really awesome community of people just like you who love great rock, go to LouLombardiRocks.com. That gets you into our private group. And there's a lot of really cool people there. I'm meeting them every single day. People are joining all the time. And we are sharing music. We're talking about music. We're finding what inspires us. And it's just a great time and a great group of people. LouLombardiRocks.com. All right. That's all the stuff out of the way. I had to like just get it all out. A quick shout out to our sponsor as well. Wolf's Customs. You want to go to wolfscustoms.com. And Chris Thunderwolf Dodson and company have been a big supporter of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus for a couple of years now. Great folks. Does custom guitar painting. So if you're a guitarist, even if you're just a hobbyist, like you want something unique, Chris can do some really beautiful work with custom work on your guitar. So check him out at wolfscustoms.com. All right, now I think I got everything out of the way. Now, there's this lovely lady sitting next to me, our resident rock historian, Lily Von Six. Lily, what is going on with you this week?
This week? You want to know what's going on with me?
What's going on with the Lilster? Lily V6, everybody. Welcome, Lily.
Hi, what's up? I am actually going to go see Richie Ramone tomorrow at the Craft House with some local guys as well.
Now, which Ramone is Richie?
Drummer.
He's the drummer. So is he just going to play? Does he have a band?
He's
just hanging out.
They're going to be doing Ramone songs and other stuff. And apparently he sings a little bit too. And so I hear through the grapevine he will be signing afterwards. So I might get to meet him. So yeah, go me.
Yeah, go you. All right.
And that's probably all I have going this week.
Okay, so it's going to be a light week for Lily.
Yes. Lily needs to catch up on her Z's.
Did we talk about what we did last week?
We did not. We have this flyer here, though.
Yes, we went to this thing at Club Cafe. Shout out to the folks at Club Cafe, too, for having a real rock and roll.
That was a 70s tribute band.
Bonneville.
And they are great. They're fun. They do not take breaks. They play the solid 2 hours. Good stuff.
And check them out, guys. You can find them on Facebook, Bonneville.
Bonneville Nation.
Bonneville Nation, is that it?
It's their Facebook.
It's their Facebook. Great bunch of guys. Put on a great show. And we have something really cool coming up in a couple of weeks, speaking that we kind of got hooked up with while we were there with Thor. So we're going to be hanging out at the Thor show, which is a really exclusive event.
It's his first time in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and so. This is going to be not Chris... Not Chris Hemsworth.
Thor.
Not that Thor. Thor.
John Michael Thor. From the 70s, 80s, and so on. And from some of the horror movies, Rock and Roll Nightmare and so forth. And I just did an interview with him last week. I'm actually going to do the replay on the 19th. His show is on the 21st at the Hotel Eveline in Pittsburgh. Tickets are on sale. They're $25. And that includes food and drink.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
There's only so many people can get in. It's a very small venue. Actually, I'm picking up the band.
Oh. So I might have to Uber.
You might have to Uber.
Uber goober. Uber my goober. Anyways, guys, the topic tonight is the great classic rock and metal tunes that are over 6 minutes long. Yes, a lot of you guys chimed in today on Facebook and named all kind of really cool prog stuff and everything. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well, but mainly what we wanted to focus on are the songs that became like really big, that like became iconic songs, and it turns out that it has to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Absolutely total bunk. You can have very long tunes that endure and people love for years and years and years and talk about generation after generation. So that is going to be that's tonight's topic, but we're going to get things started. I was going to get things started, and then I missed my thing. Lily, say something good for a second while I figure this out.
Also, over the weekend, I went to the New York State Fair, and I did see Rick Springfield and Theory of a Dead Man on the same day. It was super fun. Rick sounds amazing for 70 years old. Still running.
What?
Yeah. Still running around the stage, still spitting rose petals out when girls give them to him. He was throwing his microphone out to the crowd so people could sing. I'm like, dude, that's like a $300 microphone. He's going to break that. But it was good stuff.
Nice. If you guys have not seen the documentary called Sound City, Rick is in that, and his part in that is really freaking awesome. And I don't want to drag it out too much. We could talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about that on the after party. Oh, by the way, today is the anniversary of the release of Aerosmith's Pump. Way back in 1989. So what does that make it, 30 years old?
30 years old.
30 years old. Pump is 30 years old.
I was 7.
Classic album that really kind of like really brought them full force, you know, in their like, you know, this is the sober Aerosmith, you know.
It's my favorite album.
It's very good. But we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about that in our after party. If you want to know more about that, go to lulombardirocks.com. Guys, this is one of our favorite bands. Reign of Z is like Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, like all stars.
That's like our house band.
Next year, what I want to do is I want to do a compilation CD of like our favorite bands. So I'm going to talk to everybody, but these guys will definitely be invited to participate. I love this band. They're called Reign of Z, Reflections on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. I have to take this over because I forgot to turn the recording back on. So that was Reign of Z. You want to go to reignofz.com. Great band. Let's get into tonight's topic, which is songs that are over 6 minutes long. Now, one of the things that inspired this topic was I was reading the latest issue of Guitar Player magazine. Steve Miller has a great article in there where they talk about his like top 10 tunes, and he gives like a little history of each song. He talks about the song Swingtown, and when that came out at that time, it was like, it's got to be 2 minutes 30 seconds or the radio won't play it. And he talked about how on previous songs that he released, they would do things like cut out the guitar solo and stuff, and that would really piss him off, you know.
was that one cutting it close?
Yeah, and Swingtown is exactly 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. They really spent a lot of time in the studio editing it. It's a great article, and if you're a fan of Steve Miller, I highly, it's enlightening. You learn a lot of stuff about his songs and his songwriting stuff that is very cool. But it's the latest issue with Slash on the cover, so you should check it out. So I started thinking about that, and Keith had mentioned this to me a couple of weeks ago. He's like, we should do a podcast on these like songs that are over 6 minutes that kind of broke all the rules. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are some real classic ones out there. So that is kind of like the sort of foundations. But yes, guys, it varies a little bit. I think you can get away with 3 minutes, maybe 3:15, something like that, maybe 3:30. But
no,
really,
no
like,
more.
Like,
than
yeah,
that
I mean, you know. So some of the songs we're going to talk about tonight are really, really famous. And some are going to we're going to talk a little bit about some of your picks, too, because you guys talked about some
that was
some,
a very good response.
Some prog stuff. And as it turns out, rockers, most there's a great majority of rock out there, a big percentage of it, I should say, that can't be contained in that 2 minutes and 30 seconds or three. It just can't be.
You can't put them in a box, Luke.
I mean, somebody talked about today like how like almost every Iron Maiden song, the entire Injustice for All album, you know, none of those songs fit that mold. And they're great. It's great music, but what we're talking about is the songs that really became classic tunes that are recognizable even to people that maybe even just more casual rock listeners that really broke that mold. So Lily is our resident rock historian. She's got a list. So what do you got on your list? Let's pick one and talk about it.
I'm going to do my Iron Maiden one first.
Iron Maiden.
The one I chose, and there was quite a few to choose from, is the 2 Minutes to Midnight. It's 6 minutes and 4 seconds. Featured on the fifth studio album Power Slave in 1984. It was actually their first single to exceed 5 minutes in length and remained there until Infinite Dreams in 1989. And basically, it's a protest song about nuclear war references and the Doomsday Clock. As you know, Iron Maiden likes to tell a story with every song they have. It's very epic like that. Dickinson states that it addresses the romance of war in general, then the Cold War in particular. It is featured in several video games, and it reached number 25 on the U.S. charts. And Bruce Dickinson is God. And that is all I have to say about Bruce.
I remember when that song came out. What was the year again? 80 what?
84.
I remember when that song came out, and it's so good. Didn't even dawn on me
that it was 6 minutes.
How long it was. Didn't know.
Sometimes it's like that.
Didn't care. Thought it was very cool. It's a great song, top to bottom. What you may notice about songs that are of that length, that you're not gonna. It isn't gonna be like a quick, you know, first chorus, bridge, solo, out. Kind of thing. They're going to be doing some other stuff in there sometimes, extended verses, extended solos and things like that. The idea of 2 Minutes to Midnight in 1984, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Something that you kids don't remember out there was we just accepted that at some point, either the United States or Russia, somebody was going to press the button.
That's what we were waiting for.
There was going to be a nuclear holocaust. I mean, Prince wrote that song, Let's Go Crazy, mm-hmm. where he says, we've got the bomb, we're all going to die. This is writing the song. We just accepted that, like, this was at some point going to be our fate. That we were, you know. And then the world changed in ways that we couldn't even imagine. Just goes to show that you never can really predict the future totally. But the song is a commentary on that, and the haunting music. The intensity of it and everything really kind of communicates the vibe of that, which we were all kind of feeling that, like, it's at any minute. And 84, I believe Reagan was president.
That's legit.
At the time. And, you know, he was tough on communism. So we thought, oh, crap, here it's all going to go. But it didn't, you know, and we lived and we're still here. Yay! It's almost 2020. And, you know, we are alive and well, thank God. But great, great tune by Iron Maiden. What album is it on? Is it on Power Slave?
Power Slave.
It's on Power Slave. Dynamite Records.
And it just exceeds by 4 seconds that 6 minute mark.
There you are. What else Dynamite. You got?
I have on next on my list, Layla. Derek and the Dominoes was at 7 minutes and 8 seconds. Originally released as the 13th track from their only studio album, Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs, in 1970. It was inspired by a love story originated in the 7th century Arabia. So there's a book out that tells the story of about how a man falls in love with a young woman, but he couldn't marry her. Eric Clapton fell in love with Patty Boyd and couldn't marry her. But he did marry her anyway. So basically, that's what Clapton took it from. He was he had his own sort of love story. And it's actually hailed as one of the greatest rock songs of all time. Oh, and Patty Boyd's husband at the time was George Harrison. Sorry. I guess I should mention that sort of little detail. But he was inspired by that.
Out of great pain sometimes comes great art. On the previous song, you know, it was the threat of nuclear annihilation.
And hey, the best songs are written about love.
And this song is about annihilation of your heart.
Or your ween.
Eric Clapton was in love with Patty Boyd. Insanely in love. And he made no... George Harrison...
Was his best friend.
Is his best friend. This isn't like, you know... And he made no... everybody knew what the song was about. George Harrison knew what the song was about.
Patty knew.
God, he knew. Everybody knew. And eventually,
Patty left George
like for Eric. And I don't know. That relationship did not last. They didn't stay together.
No.
But he did finally get to hook up with Patty. There is a documentary with George Harrison not long before he passed away. And he addresses this, and it's something that, you know, he has great love for Eric Clapton. They were like soul brothers, but even at that time, George remarried, very happily remarried to a wonderful woman, very supportive person in his life. Still a kind of like thing that he said that we're going to kind of skip over this right here and not get into too much detail about it. Even the best of friends, right? Sometimes these things happen. But it's a great tune. A couple of things that some people don't realize about this track is also it also features Bonnie Bramlett from Delaney and Bonnie. I believe they're also on this song. Delaney and Bonnie are also on the song. And Dwayne Allman is also on this song. And one of the reasons why the song is 6 minutes long is because there's this giant outro with this very... Some people love it. Some people hate it. I love... In fact, this is my favorite part of the song, is when you have this giant outro with this beautiful piano thing.
I love that part,
amazing guitar trade-off between Eric Clapton and Dwayne Allman. And it's like a legendary thing. These guys were both really venerated musicians, even at that time. And it's just a kind of a miracle thing. Dwayne passed away not long after this. A few years later, he passed away. But they have this great moment with, you know, Eric Clapton, hero of the 60s, with Dwayne Allman, like kind of a 70s rock guitar legend, working together. It was a great moment in rock. And it's... recorded. Also, that song plays a very important role in Martin Scorsese's Goodfellas. And if you've never seen the movie, there's a great scene where there's this montage of murders. And they're playing that outro to Layla.
It's
absolutely
so good.
Chilling. It's chilling. It really, that changed the meaning of that song the same way that Silence of the Lambs changed the meaning of American Girl.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can't see, you can't unsee it.
Once all I ever it, think about is, during Layla, is the guy in the freezer truck.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, so great song, Layla, by Eric Clapton, Derek and the Dominoes. What else you got on your list, girl?
The next on my list.
Or did you go for the 10 this week?
I have more than 10.
Okay.
I'm just going to read them off as we go, but they're in no particular order. I have The End by The Doors, clocking in at 11 minutes and 41 seconds. First released in 1967 on the self-titled album.
How long was it again?
11 minutes, 41 seconds. Because Jim Morrison likes to talk in the middle of his songs. He's very notorious for that, or he was. It was originally written about the breakup between Jim and his girlfriend, Mary Wurlow, but it had evolved through months of performances into what it is today. He said it could be like a goodbye to anything, goodbye to childhood, relationships, what have you. Apparently, so legend says, two takes were recorded and the second one was used. They performed the song to close their last performance as a foursome on December 12th, 1970 at the Warehouse in New Orleans. And there are, like I said, there are spoken parts midway through the song, which Jim was notorious for. And he would just like go on a tangent a lot of times, which made his songs longer because he would just go.
Somebody help me out here. I believe that song, we're just talking about movies. I believe that song is featured in Apocalypse Now.
Correct. Yes, it is. And parodied in many other shows. From Apocalypse Now was that song, like Animaniacs, they parodied the song in that show, things like that.
So, I don't know what else to add to that. So what else you got?
No Quarter, Led Zeppelin. I know.
Oh yeah.
Led Zeppelin's got a lot of them. I think I have two on my list, but No Quarter, 7 minutes and 3 seconds, released on the 1973 album Houses of the Holy. It was the centerpiece at all live shows thereafter until the final tour. The title actually comes from the military practice of showing no mercy to a vanquished opponent. Mostly critics hated this song, along with The Rain, poo-pooing on John Paul Jones's unknowledgeable use of the synthesizer. But we all know critics suck at life, so we don't care what they think. I just wanted to add that in there because I like to poo-poo on them.
Poo-poo. You said poo-poo.
I did say
poo-poo. I like talking about poo-poo on our podcast. It's the poo-poo podcast.
Poopy.
Want to give a shout out to some folks that chimed in online. I don't want to name anything that's on your list, Lily. So we will talk about.
You could talk anything about Lewis Carey's.
I could talk about. Oh yeah. You really want to talk about? Oh, Lewis Carey.
I didn't put that on there, but I do like it.
This song was a big song.
I love
this song.
Big
MTV video and everything. Rock Me by Great White. That's a long track.
After I wrote my notes, I read this, and I'm like, damn, I forgot that.
Yeah.
Because I love that song. I think it's 7 minutes.
Wow. There's a lot of them out there. Somebody had mentioned that. Let me see if I can find it.
The Nugent one I didn't put.
Brian Ursa says Carnival 9 Suite by Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It's 29 minutes.
I would have never put that on my
list. So that's the kind of,
because I wouldn't have thought of it.
Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. Do you have that?
It's not on my list. It was one of the ones I wanted to pick.
That's an Iron Maiden song. Yeah. That's a kind of very, very long.
That is not the one I chose, obviously.
Barb Hirlejewski talked about Innuendo by Queen.
I almost thought Bohemian Rhapsody was one, but it's 5:55. Doesn't quite make
close,
that six,
close
minute.
To 6 minutes. Yeah. So we have several here, folks. What about the live version? Here's one that you don't think of. Mark Edwin Cole, the live version of 157 Riverside Avenue.
Never thought of it.
And Riding the Storm Out by REO Speedwagon are both.
Never thought of that either.
Long
until
jams.
I read this. Yep.
I totally forgot about that 157 Riverside. There's some fun stuff. If you don't, I don't want to get into it. But if you don't know the song, it's a fun tune. REO is in like what one of the greatest bands ever.
It's not one of the ones that stand out to me.
A few years ago, we did a salute to Gary Richrath, the guitarist. We did a podcast on him. But anyways, so we're gonna play another track and we're gonna come back. We're gonna play a track and we're gonna come back. See how I rhymed that? Because like
that was super cute. I loved
it. Just so cool. Oh yeah. If you have not, if you're watching live, I mentioned sharing. If you're listening to it or whatever, but if you're watching live, hit that share button. We're trying to get them shares and likes and views and stuff up because we're trying to get more sponsors and get some more money into this. We want to do some bigger things here coming up next year. So hit that share button if you haven't already. Here's the next band, Revolution Highway. I'm Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Was Young and Wild, Revolution Highway on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circuit. Yeah, so why don't we just go ahead and that would be great if we could just continue the podcast right now. Yeah, Revolution Highway, and let's tell all the kids at home how they can get themselves some Revolution Highway. GrooveyardRecords.com/Revolution Highway. Grooveyard Records. Just go to GrooveyardRecords.com.
And then search them.
You could do that. But if you love that sort of like heavy blues rock type stuff, that's their specialty on that label. And they've got tons of awesome freaking artists, just, and they do great compilation CDs with the different artists that are on that label. It's just Martin Jespin is on that label. A lot of really great bands are on there. Motor Gun, a lot of bands that we've played on the on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus over the years are on that label. So you will probably, if you love that kind of like heavy blues riff type rock, you will love probably almost every artist on Grooveyard Records. So check them out, grooveyardrecords.com/Revolution Highway. So we are talking about these songs that broke out despite the fact that they were long as F. So what do you got, Lily V6?
My next one is Inagata de Vida, Iron Butterfly. Now, the original version is 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Also, well, the studio version is 17 minutes and 5 seconds. Derived from In the Garden of Eden and released on their 1968 second album, Inagata de Vida, which I hate typing that out, by the way. It just pisses me off. But it occupies the entire second side of the album. The lyrics are simple and only heard at the beginning and the end. It's regarded as an influence on heavy metal music and one of the firsts of the genre. Doug Engel wrote the song after drinking an entire gallon of Red Mountain wine, as to which I would be dead afterwards. But the 17-minute version was edited down to 2 minutes and 53 seconds for radio and
single.
That's
because you are weak and ineffectual.
I'm sorry, what? Wow, we're going to have a chat.
Real rock and rollers can drink everything.
Not wine. Wine will just kill you. It reached 30 on the U.S. Billboard chart. And it's been featured on The Simpsons.
And, it, like, who doesn't know it?
If you don't know it, you need smacked in the face with the tack hammer.
Ow. But there's not much else I can say about it. Yeah, in the Garden of Eden, slurred, became
Because
in the
he was drinking wine like an idiot. Not White Claw.
I know. If he was drinking White Claw, we would understand what the...
No, probably not.
So what else you got on your list?
Next one is one I don't ever want to put on any list. However, it deserves to be on the list. It's 2112 Rush at 20 minutes and 33 seconds. Don't give me the look. I already know. We all know this is one of my least favorite bands ever. However, like I said, it deserves to be on the list. It was released on the 1976 album of the same name. The song was adapted into a comic booklet, which used lyrics of the song as lines for the characters and the narrations from the cover as intros. There are 7 parts to this song. A little bit excessive, but there's the overture, the temples of the Sphinx, discovery, presentation, oracle,
temples
the dream.
Of Syrinx.
Oh, because that's not how it was spelled. Sorry.
We are the priests of the temples of Syrinx. Sorry.
The dream.
I'm rushing out.
Soliloquy and the grand finale. This is the longest song.
We have assumed control. We have assumed control. I'm not Rush. Sorry.
This is the longest song in Rush's library. I lose interest at about 7 minutes in or right around part 3. I am not a Rush fan. So I will not elaborate any further. If Lou wants to take over now, he can. But it deserves to be on list. It's a good song.
Some folks, I'm trying to look. Did anybody mention 2112? If you didn't
mention one person did. I swear I saw it.
Anyways, great. I think it's wonderful. Lily is not a big Rush fan.
It's fine.
I don't want to torture her.
Rush is, unfortunately, an amazing band. I just can't stand them.
How do you say unfortunately?
Because I don't like them.
I know
them.
You don't like them. Okay. We have some bad history with Lily and Rush. So what else you got? Let's skip on down.
All right, skip on down. We're going to Freebird, Lynyrd Skynyrd, 9 minutes and 8 seconds. Power.
Freebird.
I was going to mention that power ballad first featured on the band's debut album in 73 has been included in subsequent albums. It is considered to be the band's signature song and is used during the finale of live performances. It is their longest song and often goes over 14 minutes when it's played live. And there's always one jackass in the audience yelling "Play Freebird" at every show, regardless of the genre.
It doesn't
of
matter
music.
What genre you're at. Somebody's yelling "Play Freebird."
If you're at dubstep, somebody's saying "Play Freebird."
Somebody listed that today.
I think a couple.
Nine minutes.
I have 908. Yeah, I guess it all depends on what you're listening on.
Somebody mentioned this song. Okay, speaking of Rush, a little while ago, "Working Man" is over 6 minutes.
I think a lot of theirs are, aren't they?
Yeah. But these songs are classic tunes, especially "Working Man." Like, that's a classic rock tune. You could probably listen to it. If you put on your classic rock station in your hometown, or you put on Ozzy's Boneyard or one of these shows, you're going to hear "Working Man" once a day. You just are. So what else you got?
I also have "November Rain" by Guns N' Roses.
And somebody else mentioned that today.
8 minutes and 57 seconds. Power
Big
ballad.
Hit. Giant video, like the whole thing.
Yeah, Ballad released in 1992 from Use Your Illusion 1. Longest song in history to enter the Billboard Top 10 chart at number 3. Axl actually started working on that song in 1983. Like, he had, like, sort of, like, the piano parts done, and he was talking to Tracy Guns, and Tracy Guns was like, this is something, it's just not done. And then eventually he finished it. Slash has stated that there's an 18-minute version somewhere of the song. Who knows if that's actually true. Rose had talked to the other band members into doing the song because they were not keen on doing ballads, just direct rock songs. So I'm glad they did, because that happens to be one of the songs that played during my junior high dances, and I like to always be the one to pull the guy back because I'm like, the song's not done, bro. We're not done now.
We're not done. There's more.
You stand here.
Michael Goltz, thank you for chiming in today with that contribution as well. So you and Michael are on the same page with that.
Nice.
What else you got? I said you have a crap load more, so what do you got?
I also have Still of the Night, Whitesnake. It's 6 minutes and 41 seconds. It's my favorite Whitesnake song. Released as the first single from their self-titled 1987 album. It's one of the band's most popular songs. I've heard it every show. Coverdale stated in an interview that when his mother passed away, he was going through things in her house, found some early demo cassettes with what was sort of the basics of Still of the Night, written with Richie Blackmore. He took it to the next level and created what it is now. And it was the most requested video in the first week of its release on MTV. The video features Tawny Kitaen, but the part was actually supposed to be given to Claudia Schiffer. And she was snubbed for his girlfriend.
Rock and roll is a vicious game, my friends. I want to give a shout out to Mike Huberty. Mike has a great podcast himself called See You on the Other Side. And Mike, we are going to play your band as well. Mike's podcast is very cool. It's all about the paranormal.
Oh, okay.
And what That's they do fun. Is each week his band writes and records and produces a song for the theme of whatever that week's show is. So, you got to teach me how to do that. But his contribution to today's show was The Confessor by Joe Walsh.
Okay.
And you know that song?
I do know the song.
And that's a long tune. And very, very cool. A lot of people, I have a friend of mine I was in a band with, and she said that was like one of her favorite songs of all time. And she said it was her absolute favorite Joe Walsh tune. It was like his last big, I don't know. It was around the same time that Ordinary Average Guy came out and those songs. But yeah, it might have been his last big radio hit. Great song, Joe Walsh, The Confessor. If you don't know it, you don't know what you're missing, go check it out. Yeah, cool tune. Let's play another. Let's do a couple more, and then we'll play another band.
All right, I got Stairway to Heaven, Led Zeppelin. It's my last Zeppelin one on my list.
Stairway denied.
8 minutes and 3 seconds. Released in 1970 on the untitled fourth studio album, not to called Zeppelin 4, referred to as one of the greatest songs of all time. It has 3 sections to the song, each one progressively increasing in tempo and volume. Was the most requested song on the radio in the 1970s in the USA, despite never having been commercially released here. So that's magical, in my opinion. Also, probably the most familiar Zeppelin song. Everybody knows what that song is.
People that don't know the song even know Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
They know what it is, even if they don't actually know literally what the song is.
Right.
great tune. It's Zeppelin's, in many ways, probably that, maybe Kashmir. Kashmir, somebody mentioned Kashmir.
That's one
well
of my favorite songs, too, but I didn't include
as
it.
As a Kashmir by Led Zeppelin, Scott McCauley mentioned that. That and Stairway. Stairway to Heaven is kind of considered their sort of like magnum opus.
Yeah.
Their like sort of masterpiece. And it really has everything that Led Zeppelin really was all about. It's got the folky acoustic thing.
It's got the whole hard rock.
It's got the hard, heavy rock. It's got the kind of blues thing in it, too. It's got the very cool chord progressions in it. It's got Jimmy Page playing the double neck Les Paul. I mean, it's got like, if you had to say, well, what's Led Zeppelin? You could play somebody's Stairway to Heaven and they would kind of get the picture.
Because it's basically that. What's...
Yeah, and it's got the epic lyrics, the sort of like almost science fiction-y or fantasy, science fantasy.
Tolkien.
Tolkien-ish sort of thing happening as well. David Race is In the Light by Led Zeppelin.
That's a great song.
And those are songs that all made the radio. In the Light isn't major big. I would say that I would put Kashmir up there ahead of that. I mentioned earlier some of these more progressive type stuff. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Victim of Changes. Frank Crasher talked about. Jeff Gardner mentioned Rime of the Ancient Mariner, of course. But he also said pretty much all of Master of Puppets the songs are all very, very long. There's the whole prog thing. Song for America by Kansas, which is another classic rock tune that you could probably hear on Classic Rewind or one of those things all the time. I don't know how long Carry On Wayward Son is, but it's a pretty long tune. I'm not exactly sure if that makes 6 minutes or not.
Real quick, Dan Kramer, you need some hair metal bands too. There aren't very many hair metal bands that went over 6 minutes. That's the problem. That's why there's really none listed on.
Well, you know what? We did talk about the Great White tune.
The Great White. That's probably the only one that's going to be
maybe
the
during the next song, maybe we could talk about, come up with a couple of things.
Maybe.
Are any of these on your...
I don't have that one.
Okay. So Rob Marsili mentioned Manfred Mann's version of Blinded by the Light.
Which is the better version. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Way better than... I like it way better than Springsteen's version, of course. Chuck Costa Border was the one who mentioned 2112.
Yeah. Okay. I knew it was on there.
I knew somebody had mentioned that. Yes. And Chuck also mentioned Inagata De Vita, which we talked about a little while ago. Larry DeMoss says, does it count if you listen to a song twice? No, it does not count. Janet Lang mentioned Testament's Return to Serenity, which is a long tune.
Again, a lot of metal like that.
Yeah, a lot of that type of metal is a lot of Tool songs. Craig Wabrek says, is anything by Tool? And there's a lot of Tool stuff that has... Ron Poole keeps talking about Cy Snooties, and Ron... I know you're a big Cy Snooties fan. You know, I'm not sure what's going on there.
We don't know.
But
who
I hope that you get some help. Is this on your list?
Nope, I did not put that on my list.
Okay, Dave Brizard says it's not really one of his favorite songs or anything, but American Pie by Don McLean. So, we are going to jam out one more time, and then we're going to come back and wrap this thing up. Is there something you want to mention before we
don't have to. We're good.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I can fit the last three. All right,
here's the next band. What's the next band? Oh, Mississippi Bones. I love these guys. We're going to come right back. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus coming right back.
You are a Christian man, Sheriff Cooper.
I don't mind. Promise.
How much Bible do you know? Little Dixie is a battleground.
She belongs to me, not you.
We were kind of kidding. That's the connection to everything.
Evil versus evil. And you're smack dab in the middle of it.
Maybe she can come help us. You don't know.
They're coming. You'll have to protect them.
Did you fornicate with her? It's abomination. Sandbox. It's all ghouls and ghosts, all the shows and hot nights.
Now let me educate y'all devilry in the blues and Little Dixie.
Well, road out of Little Dixie, you know what I'm saying?
The Bones themselves on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Mississippi Bones. Freaking love that freaking band. Another band I absolutely love. I mean, basically, guys, you're just like, I'm just saying, like, I'm just forcing you to listen to music I like.
And you got a deal.
MississippiBones.bandcamp.com. But I have very good taste in music.
Legit.
MississippiBones.bandcamp.com. Check them out. I pulled up a thing because there's a lot of songs that are not like rock tunes that are over 6 minutes.
Pop style.
Pop, like pop songs. Like Last Christmas by Wham is 6 minutes and 44 seconds long.
I love that
song. So like.
I'm going to like. Smack you though, because now that's gonna be stuck in my head all night.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone is 6 minutes and 53 seconds long. You know, there's wait a minute, I just Rapper's Delight by Sugar Hill Gang, 14 minutes.
Wow. You know what? Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I did not know this, but Rock Lobster is 6 minutes and 51 seconds.
God, that's 6 minutes
now, too long.
I knew
long. There was some long Springsteen tunes, but Rosalita is 7 minutes. Scenes from an Italian... Oh, how could we forget Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel? Michael Goltz, shame on you. You're a massive Billy Joel fan, and you did not mention Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Michael by Billy Joel. Shame on you. Shame, shame, shame. Sweet Judy Blue Eyes by Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Tainted Love.
Tainted by Soft Cell, not the Marilyn Munchkin version.
Wow.
Let me see. Who do we have here? Tonight, Tonight, Tonight by Genesis. Remember that one?
Yeah, a lot of Genesis has long songs, though. I did not include it.
Year of the Cat by Al Stewart.
Oh, my God. I hate that song.
Oh, You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Stones. That is a long-ass freaking song. So there's a lot of
long-ass
songs. Yeah, long-ass freaking songs. That aren't like really even in rock, just like pop tunes. But there was a time when it was a little bit more, what's the word I want? It was just a little bit more acceptable, or you could get away with it a little bit more.
They are the reason they have to cut the music down.
Yeah, these guys have ruined it for everybody else. I'm just trying to take a look real quick. There was any like really. Just taking a quick look. But anyway, so. And I think we did mention Blinded by the Light.
We did, yes.
Lily's favorite, Champagne Supernova by Oasis is 7 minutes and 20. It doesn't feel that long.
It doesn't. That's actually the only Oasis song I like. Like I was telling Lou.
That's a good getting stoned song.
Well, I don't do that.
Okay, so what? So Lily's got a couple more on her list before we get out of here. So
speaking of the Stones, since you brought them up, I have Sympathy for the Devil. At 6:26.
It doesn't feel that long.
Nope, not at all. It's a fun song.
You know why? Because it's freaking good.
It is, yeah.
I hate to say it. If you write something that's really good, people will like.
You're not
going to
know it's long.
A little bit longer. They're not going to be like, that's too long.
Opening track on the 1968 album Beggar's Banquet. The lyrics focus on atrocities in the history of mankind from Satan's point of view, including the trial and death of Jesus Christ, European wars of religion, the violence of the Russian Revolution, and the shooting of the Romanov family during World War I and most of World War II. So that's a sad-esque sort of song, but great song. Love it. Didn't know it was that long, though. I don't know why you're making a face. But it also appeared in Tony Hawk's Proving Ground and Mafia 3 and the novel V for Vendetta. The character V quotes the opening lyrics to the song as he confronts a pedophile bishop.
Did you say it was in Interview with a Vampire?
I did not say that. Is it in there?
It's in there, but it's by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, well, that's...
But it's cool. They do a great version of it. The song is metaphoric.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the song is one of the songs that's like... It touches on a different subject, but it's none of the songs that isn't really about what it's about.
Yeah.
It's about something like a lot deeper. I will just leave it there because we could probably do an entire podcast on song alone. I freaking love that song. Anything else?
Yeah, I got Down by the River, Neil Young, 9 minutes and 17 seconds, originally released on the 1969 album with Crazy Horse called Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. And then the last one I'm going to mention is Paradise by the Dashboard Light. It's at 8 minutes and 28 seconds, depending on where you're listening to it at, because it could be longer, could be shorter. Obviously, that's Meatloaf and Jim Steinman, who are responsible for that off of Bat Out of Hell. Most notable for its length and unique structure, it's 3 parts plus a baseball broadcast. The first part is the song opens with characters reminiscing about a date they had parking. Then the baseball broadcast, which is done by Yankees announcer Phil Rizzuto. Part 2 is when the male character is about to score. And the female says, no, you have to love me and marry me, blah, blah, blah. Finally, he gives in because, you know, men. So, no offense. And then part 3 is that we're back in the present with the male character not being able to stand her anymore, but he won't break his vow and he's praying to die. But it's a fun song. Also, for reference, it's the only song I'll sing karaoke to if anyone wants to buy me 7 shots of tequila.
7 shots.
That's amazing to do. That's the only way I'll do it.
9 rounds with Jose Cuervo.
Yep.
Meatloaf's Bat Out of Hell clocks in, depending on which version you listen to, between 8 minutes and 11 seconds and 9 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah, it all depends.
I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Is it the original actual version with the whole thing with the female vocal and the whole thing is around 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So Jim Steinman, who's this writer who wrote all of them, actually, this, what's the song he wrote for Air Supply?
I don't know which one it is.
Out of Nothing at All. Making Love Out of Nothing at All. That is, I don't know if it's 6 or 7 minutes long, but it is a long song.
He does
everything
epics.
Everything Jim Steinman writes is...
It's a book.
Turn Around Bright Eyes.
Yes.
So that's a long one. Yeah. I don't know if that's exactly over six, but Jim
Total
Steinman
Eclipse of the Heart,
is like,
sorry.
Yeah, Total Eclipse of the Heart is one of those, another one of those. He writes.
He does
epics.
You can't
listen to, Jim doesn't like know how to write.
Radio stuff.
He does. They're all big hits, but he like, can't, but they're all connects. Epics. It's like every one of his songs is like a mini movie.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's amazing, and he gets away with
he's
it
because fantastic.
He's Jim frickin' Steinman. And go F yourself. we did not talk about Hotel California, which is a lot of people will probably yell at us. I can't think of Hotel California.
People don't like that song.
Hotel
I don't
California.
Know why.
Another one, this song is more than double 6 minutes. Do You Feel Like We Do? Peter Frampton from Frampton Comes Alive. With the long talk box solo that when I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, this is a miracle. Like, I'm so not worthy. I could listen to that over and over
excited.
And over. Yes, that just blew my freaking mind. Another song by a guitarist from a 70s guitar player that's very long, and I do not know the exact length, but I believe it is over 6 minutes, and that is Stranglehold by Sweaty Teddy himself, the
Uncle
Motor
Ted.
City Madman, the Nuge.
I love that song.
The Nuge. So there are, I'm just taking a quick look at our, fans this week, what they posted, make sure we didn't miss anything. Have any glaring, Michael Gold, Shame on You. You did not remember Scenes from an Italian Restaurant by Billy Joel. Shame on you. You were,
at least you contributed.
You're like Michael Billy Joel Goltz, and you should know that. Alec Wolf said The Pinnacle by Kansas. I don't know if that was a big radio hit. Shine on You Crazy Diamond.
Yeah, well,
there's a lot of Pink Floyd.
I think
Comfortably Numb is up there as well. Achilles' Last Stand. Dave Brizard mentioned that as well. Tim Johnson was the one who mentioned Stranglehold as well. If it's good, I'll listen. It doesn't have to be short. It doesn't have to be, punk rock. It's funny, music is always kind of like running through these, at least up until when radio died, music always kind of like ran this sort of wave of like, we would have these more kind of epical kind of experimental periods, then that would all get condensed down to like very short kind of like immediate kind of pop tunes, and then it would open up for a little bit, then it would come back down, and it just seems to be a kind of roller coaster that pop music goes through. And I feel like in periods where music was kind of evolving and changing and stuff like that, we had these longer tunes because we were ready for something new and something experimental. And a typical thing, a good example is the Beatles. I think Hey Jude clocks in at around 7 or 8 minutes, long tune, big epic song as well. So it just goes to show that, no, it doesn't have to be Don't Bore Us, Take Us to the Chorus. You can have these big epic tunes that people just laugh. How long has Come Sail Away?
Oh my gosh, it's probably long.
I'm going to Google it real quick because
I don't
Lily,
think of that stuff.
Why don't you go ahead and tell folk, kind of like tell everybody about your show and
all
plug
right.
your stuff.
So my show is on Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Rock Rage Radio. It's Hot Licks with Lily 6. You can download the free app or just go to rockrageradio.com and always check out the live feeds on the Facebook pages. Everybody is always doing something. So if you want to see a cool show, you can't get out to it or that's not coming to your town, more than likely one of us have seen it and it's posted live. So always check that out.
Come Sail Away clocks in. It's 6 minutes and 5 seconds.
Nice.
Yep. So.
Yeah, that's legit.
Classic. Classic tune that ever. My favorite version of Come Sail Away is the one by Eric Cartman from South Park.
Jeez.
My favorite version.
I don't watch South Park.
So you should.
I don't.
But you should. Is that an X thing? Yeah.
No, I literally have just never seen it.
What?
I've seen the movie and that's
it. The movie's like the worst thing they ever did. The shows are great. Anyways, guys, so Okay, I have a lot to tell you. First of all,
OMG, ready when to go.
I have to mention Wolf's Customs again. I'm holding up, if you're not watching the video, you're missing this. I'm holding up their business card, wolfscustoms.com. Custom and very sweet, I might say. Chris, send me some photos. We'll show them on the podcast. Great guitar custom paint jobs on guitars. Check it out, wolfscustoms.com. Our website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Check it out. We also, and I should mention, we have a Patreon. So throw us a freaking bone. I mean, we get so many fans. Just get on there, man. A buck. It really helps us out. We want to do some bigger and better things in the coming months. So go to patreon.com/.